All right, so we are reading today from 10th Canto, 30th chapter, text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ma. Does it have that up there? Vaishta. Vata. Prashabhyam tat chanam vitam maya iti uktvaktena hastena yatanti unidade Ambaram Ma Vaishtavat Ma Vaishtavat Varshabhyam Tatranam Vihitam Maya It Yukvat Tena Hastena Ayatant Yunid Tembaram. No. When you have a Y at the end of the word and a vowel in the beginning of the next word, it runs into one. You understand? It says Yatant Yunid Tembaram. Got it? It's not yatanti unidade. Everybody understands that? Which I probably said that about 1,000 times in the class here, but anyway. And also in the third line, you have the same thing. It's it yukt vai kena has kena. It's not iti ukt vai kena. So, Ma Vaishtavata Varshabhyam Tatranam Vihitam Maya It Yuk Vai Kena Hastena Yatant Yun Nidja Jambaram. Ma Vaishtavata Varshabhyam. There's an echo here somewhere. Tatranam Vihitamaya. It Yukt Vai Kena Hastena. Yatant Yun Nidadembaram. Okay, anyone want to try? Varshabhyam Tatranam Vidam Maya ladies. Come on. One day. So, Ma Vaishta, don't any of you fear. Vata, the wind. Varsabhyam, and rain. Tat, from that. Tranam, your deliverance. Vihitam has been arranged. Maya, by me. Iti, thus. Uktva, speaking. Ekena, with one. Hastena, hand. Yatanti, endeavoring. Un nidhade, she lifted. Ambaram, her upper garment. Remember I gave the name to someone the other day using the word ambaram? Nilambari. Yeah, Nila Ambari or Nilambari means blue garment. It's interesting. And Krishna's Pitambara, that means yellow garment. So translation, don't be afraid of the wind and rain, said one gopi, I will save you. And with that, she lifted her shawl above her head. So purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada, here a gopi enacts Lord Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. So the Acharyas explain exactly the same thing. It's very short. Purports by the Acharyas. And I think you all know that pastime. Okay, we'll just continue reading. Text 21. Ruyai ka pata kramya shirasyaha param nripa dushtahe gacha jatoham kolanam nanudandakrit. Shukadeva Goswami continued. O king, one gopi climbed on another's shoulders and putting her foot on the other's head. Don't do that with devotees. Said, go away from here, you wicked rascal, wicked snake. You should know that I have taken birth in this world just to punish the envious. And purport just says, here the gopis enacted Krishna's chastisement of Kaliya. Let's see. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just has one line here, but Jiva Goswami, I think, has a little bit longer. Yeah. Using her feet, putting them on the head of another gopi, she spoke. Nanu indicates certainty or calling out. Sometimes the word nripa is inserted. This indicates astonishment. Dushtahe means a wicked snake. Leave this place or else I will punish you. Nanu means certainly. Though in the actual pastime, Krishna did not say this, the gopi said this as a conclusion or to explain the meaning of the pastime. So we'll continue reading. Text 22. The Traiko Vacha Hegopa Dabagnim Vashatolvanham Jakshum Shastvapi Dadwambo Vidashekshema Manjasa. Then another gopi spoke up. My dear coward boys, look at this raging forest fire. Quickly, close your eyes, and I will easily protect you. Anyway, this is pretty much self-explanatory. Jiva Goswami just gets into a grammatical analysis. So, text 23. Vatanyaya shaja kachet tanvi tatra hulukhale bodami bandavetaram hayangava musham twati vita sudrik vidha yasyam veje viti vidambanam. One gopi tied up her slender companion with a flower garland and said, Now I will bind this boy who has broken the butter pots and stolen the butter. The second gopi then covered her face and beautiful eyes, pretending to be afraid. This is really nice. Well, here's, okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does have a very interesting commentary here. When the sudden appearance of strong unmada, that means madness, was pacified, the identification with Krishna also slackened. Returning to their identities as gopis, seeing one gopi showing enthusiasm in imitating Krishna's stealing butter and breaking the yogurt pots, Yogamaya played the role of Yashoda and performed the required actions. Oh, naughty child, you have stolen butter and run away. I will tie you up. Yogamaya, playing the role of a gopi, imitating Yashoda, bound up a gopi with a garland. The gopi hid her face with her two hands, enacting fear. This is pretty much what the other acharyas say. Actually, there's a little bit of interesting comment here. Sanatana Goswami said, one gopi was thin. Because of the pain of separation, she immediately became thin. That's how we know nobody here is experiencing pain of separation. Had a prema. They imitated the Lord being controlled by his devotee. Tatra can mean in that imitation among the gopis, one became the mortar. One gopi imitated fear by moving her eyes and covered her face with her hands. This is the quality of a small child when he is afraid. She imitated his characteristics of fear, trembling, hair standing on end, crying slightly and bewildered voice. And he says, fear is a product of the mind. I'm just taking parts of the purport here. The Damodar pastime, which shows he is controlled by the devotee, is the best of all pastimes. Thus, it is at the end, since one should conclude with sweetness, Madhurena Samapayet. In other words, why is that sweet as compared to the other pastimes? Because there's no demons there. It's Yashodamaya. And actually, Prabhupada said, even though Yashodamaya was running after Krishna with a stick, Prabhupada said a parent should never hit the child. Prabhupada was in Gurukul one time teaching the teachers how to discipline children. And he said that you can raise the stick, but you never hit. When Prabhupada was a child, one time one of his teachers hit him. And you know what Prabhupada did? Some of you heard me tell the story before. He took the kerosene lamp and threw it at the teacher. You understand? Anyway, and it set the whole classroom on fire. So Prabhupada was the originator of using kerosene and bombs. Even started that, wasn't it? So then Prabhupada was talking to the devotees about disciplining the kids. He said, just threaten. And then he told the story of Narada Muni, who had a disciple who was a snake. And the snake actually became a great devotee, and he became nonviolent. And so when you have a snake that's nonviolent, the snake is, you know, threatened by so many people, isn't it? It's good to, if you're a snake, it's good to lie. People run away. So the snake was being harassed, and the snake said to his spiritual master, "What should I do?" And Narada Muni said, "Just threaten, don't bite." So that's how children should be treated. I mean, I just received a note yesterday from one poor girl who was just like beaten continually by her parents. And I was just thinking, oh my God, you should never hit children. So Yashoda Maya was not going to hit Krishna. She was just like giving him a scare. But he was afraid he was going to get hit. Since killing Dainika and Pralamba were done by Balaram, they were not enacted. They did not imitate his stealing the gopis' clothing or attracting the wives of the brahmanas since they were shy. This is actually interesting. They did not consider the particular rasas of each pastime since they concluded in the soul of all rasas, Krishna. Breaking the Yamalarjuna trees was not imitated as it was included in the Damodar pastimes. The pastimes imitated are not in correct order because Shukadeva, in describing the gopis' bewilderment and separation, attained a similar bhava and gave up inspecting the sequence closely. Wow. So in other words, because Shuka, as we mentioned before, is Radharani's parrot, and he has the similar bhava to the gopis, during this whole section of the pastimes, he's not, let's say, presenting things in chronological order. Because he's like, wow, he's ecstatic. Sometimes when you get ecstatic, you can't speak clearly. And as we mentioned before, the Sanchari bhavas, remember? Sanchari bhavas? Yabhachari Bhavas, the 33 of them, they definitely bewilder you. Anyway. Or the gopis imitated pastimes in the order written for single to group enactments, and from that, from lesser to major pastimes. Or they manifested the pastimes from single to group enactments. In other words, Sanatana Goswami is giving different reasons why there was the particular sequence of pastimes the gopis were imitate. First he said, Shukadeva Goswami was just bewildered by bhava, his bhava, or the gopis wanted to go from single to group enactments. In other words, some of the pastimes were just one person doing things, and the other pastimes were a whole group. Okay. Anyway, continuing reading. Evam Krishnam Prachamana Vrindavana Latas Tarun Avyat Chakshata Vano Deshe Padani Paramatmanaha. While the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees where Krishna, the Supreme Soul, might be, they happened to see his footprints in a corner of the forest. So there's no purport, but let's see if Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something I can read. Yeah. Okay, this is very interesting. It's all interesting, but some is too philosophical for Bhagavatam class. In this way, the gopis search for Krishna in forest after forest, asking his whereabouts from the trees. The Sanchari Bhava, again, Sanchari Bhava, called Unmada, which appear in the state of separation, is characterized by identity with the object of affection when it is in its most intense state of self-forgetfulness. Actually, I'll give you an example, because we were talking about my godbrother Sridhar Maharaj. So, when Sridhar Maharaj came to Mayapur, I was there. We received him nicely. He was coming to leave this world to go back to Krishna. So one of the well, the first thing he did is he went into the temple. And then, after taking darshan of Sri Prabhupada, the Vyasa son, Panchatattva, well, actually the Panchatattva had not been installed at that point. He was there for the installation. But of the Radha Madhava and the Astasakis, he went to Lord Nrsimhadev, Senor Nrsimhadev, for those of you from South America. And immediately, I mean, I was right next to him, he started to go in front of Lord Nrsimhadev. It was wonderful. So he was identifying, you know, there was a Baba, Sanchari Baba, Umada, showing himself to be on a very high platform of devotional service. Did you ever hear that story before? No, it's a new story for you. So, I said, oh my God, what's happening with my God brother here? But now I understand by reading Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that it was Unmada, it's a part of Sanchari Baba. So it's important to understand these bhavas so you can identify. Of course, right now, you are all experiencing bhavas. It's called Baba Rogue. You don't know what Baba Rogue is? Baba Rogue? You know, like Prabhupada said, you're either a bogi or a yogi or a rogi. Prabhupada said, this is Prabhupada, don't blame me. He said, if you have to go to the bathroom once a day, you're a yogi. Twice a day, you're a bogi. And three times or more a day, you're rogi. Rogi means sick. See, bogi, no, yogi, bogi, rogi. What are you? Who's a bogi here? So Baba Rogue actually means the disease of material condition. Because we are experiencing bhavas. For example, we have a vibhava. Whenever you see a Bollywood film, you girls, you see Akshay Kumar. I just mention the name and they go, whoo. That's called a vibhava, that which stimulates your emotion. And the is an anubhava. And you're going to the movies in Sattvika Bhava and crying during the movies would be a Sanchari Bhava. What do you think? So that's called Bhava Rogue. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to describe that. And you actually identify yourself with the object of affection. When it is in its most intense state of self-forgetfulness. This has been described in three verses, beginning with Priya Priyasha and Krishna Om Pashyata. This one, Srimad Bhagavatam, both in the 30th chapter, which we've read already. In the medium stage, there's imitation. Here is a bug. So there is an imitation of the beloved's behavior with some self-awareness. In other words, in the beginning, it's you and the beloved. As in the following statement in the story, hey, these rascals. The following story of Prahlad in the 7th canto, 4th chapter, text 40. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call out in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. That's, of course, an anubhava. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. That's a Sanchari Bhava. One, and so that's Prahlad Maharaj also went through these different stages. One gopi imitated Putana, while another acted like infant Krishna and pretended to suck her breast. Another gopi, crying in imitation of infant Krishna, kicked a gopi who was taken. Anyway, we read that verse. He's just repeating In this weak state, unmada is expressed with self-identity returning and asking questions to trees and other objects. In other words, in the weak state of unmada, transcendental craziness, or divyonmada, which is basically the same thing, then there's some self-identification. In a strong state of transcendental madness, you lose that concept of self. It's only meditating on the object of devotion. You understand that? It's like if you really love the deities here, you will forget that you are there. You will just, you won't identify yourself with the deities. But, you know, may looking at the deities, you may go like this. Has anyone ever done that? When you're looking at Krishna, sometimes you go like that. And that's unmada. That means you're an advanced devotee. We're going to look to see when we greet the deities today who is actually advanced and who has a sense of self-identity. All right, let's see. Jiva Goswami says pretty much the same thing. And Sanatana Goswami says the same thing. All right. Okay, text 25. Padani vyaktametani nandasunor mahatmana lakshante dvajambhoja vajram kushayavadipki. The gopis said, the marks of the flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant goat, barley corn, and so forth, on these footprints clearly distinguish them as belonging to that of the great soul, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So here there's a purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, gives the following scriptural information about the symbolic markings on the lotus feet of Krishna. Wow. Here's some nectar for you all. So in the following verses, the Skanda Purana states the particular places on his feet where Krishna carries the mark of the flag and also other marks and the reasons for these marks. Wow. Dakshinasya padangushta mule chakram ivartijaha tacha bokta janasyari sadvarga chit. At the base of the large toe, picture this as I'm talking about it. Don't just hear. Picture in your mind what Krishna's foot looks like. At the base of a large toe on his right foot, so there's a right foot, the unborn Lord carries the mark of a disc which cuts down the six mental enemies of his devotees. Wow. Kama, krodha, madhavansarya, bhavivaya, lust, anger, greed, delusion, envy, fear. So these are called anarthas, right? And so anartha means unwanted things. And so we have, all, practically all of us should be at the stage of anartha nivritti. Because ado shradatata sadhusam gota bhajana kriya. So hopefully you're all doing bhajana kriya. You're associated with sadhus and you have a little faith. So therefore you should be trying to get rid of unwanted things. Anarthas. Lust. How do you get rid of lust? Anyone know? Yes, you see the deity. If you would all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna who is standing on the bank of the Keshi Ghat playing his flute. Because if you see Krishna, just like that story of Sripad Ramanujacharya that I've told many times, that when there was this really lusty guy, Dhanardas, who was worshiping his girlfriend. Remember that story? Ramanujacharya, instead of telling the guy he was in Maya, said, come with me to see someone with more beautiful eyes. And when he came to see the deity, He said, "Wow." And but he still got married. So that's the point. And we hear about Krishna's pastimes, romantic pastimes, and therefore then this lust becomes dissipated. And anger? How do we get rid of anger? First of all, we don't meditate on sense objects. That's the first thing Krishna teaches in the Gita. Right? But you can use anger to get to be angry at people who blaspheme. But don't cut their tongues out. Not good for preaching. Greed? How do you get rid of greed? You see, everything is connected to what? Krishna. Everything be used in Krishna's service. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada said you could take a picture of him pulling the gold in for Krishna. That's how you get rid of greed. Illusion. How do you get rid of illusion? Actually, there's several ways. Prabhupada said one time in the Bhagavatam, one gets rid of sleepiness by rising up, or illusion by rising up. Anyway, one gets rid of illusion by hearing Krishna Katha, understanding not the body. And one gets rid of fear, how? Avaya sattva sam shadir jnana yoga vastati, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, associating with devotees, and not worrying about the coronavirus. Something will get you anyway. If it's not the coronavirus, it'll be another devotee. Anyways. So you had. Anyway. So the disc in Krishna's. This is actually so amazing. The disc on the toe of Krishna's right foot gets rid of all the illusions. It's very nice, poetic. Not only poetic, it's actually real. Gets rid of all the illusion and anarthas of the devotees, the six mental enemies of the devotees. So we're going to be. I'm going to test you tomorrow, so you remember where everything is on the Lord's lotus feet. So you're going to take notes. That's the base of the large toe. You know, large toe. This is not a toe, but I can use my foot. That means the base. The base of the toe is a disc there. And then next one. Majja mangule mule cha date kamala machutaha jatri chitta advire panam lobanayati shobanam. At the bottom of the middle toe of the same foot, that's right foot. So got how many toes? Anyone know? Five. So the middle toe is the middle one right there. The bottom of the middle toe of that same foot, Lord Achyuta has a lotus flower, which increases the greed for him in the minds of the bee-like devotees who meditate on his feet. Wow. Isn't it? That's nice. The lotus flower increases the greed for Krishna. His lalyam. Greed is actually the methodology or the method for attaining Krishna consciousness. It's also the method of leaving Krishna consciousness. You have to be greedy for the right thing. So remember, we got two so far. You know, the lotus flower and the chakra. And then Kanishta Mulato Vashram Bhakta Papadri Vedanam Parshni Majeng Kushambhakta Chiteva Vashakaranam. At the base of his small toe, that's toe, small toe, is a thunderbolt which smashes the mountains of his devotees' reactions to past sins and the middle of his heel. Heel's the bottom foot, but the middle of that. is the mark of an elephant goad which brings the elephants of his devotees' minds under control. So, you want to control your mind, just look at Krishna's lotus feet, at the elephant goad. And Boga Sampan Maiham Date Yavanam Gushta Parvani. The joint of his right large toe, joint means this thing right here. You understand? Where it bends. Everybody understands that joint. Bears the mark of a barley corn, representing all kinds of enjoyable opulences. Not materialized spiritual opulences. The Skanda Purana also states, Vajambai Dachine Pashve Angushovai Tad Agritaha. A thunderbolt is found on the right side of his right foot, and an elephant goad below that. Okay, right side. I guess right side would be as you're looking to the bottom of his feet, right? I assume that's what it means. The acharyas of the Vaishnava Sampradaya explain that since the particular feet under discussion are Lord Krishna's, we should know that the thunderbolt is at the base of his small toe and the elephant goad below the thunderbolt. An elephant goad on the heel, wow, belongs rather to Lord Narayan and other Vishnu Tattva expansions. So Lord Narayan has different placings of the different elements on the feet. Thus, the Skanda Purana describes six marks on Krishna's right foot: the disc, flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant goat, and barley corn. And the Vaishnava Toshini mentions even more marks: a vertical line beginning at the middle of his foot and continuing as far as the juncture between his big toe and second toe. Juncture means right between them. An umbrella below the disc at the base of the middle of his foot, a group of four swastikas in the four cardinal directions at the four points where each swastika meets the next four rose apples, and in the middle of the swastikas an octagon. Octagon, octa means eight. So look, an eight sided figure. We actually have a temple shaped like an octagon called Nubaloka. It's a dome temple shaped like an octagon. That's why it's auspicious. This makes 11 marks on Krishna's right foot. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the marks on Krishna's left foot as follows. At the base of the large toe is a conch shell with its mouth facing the toe. The base of the large toe, okay. At the base of the middle toe are two concentric circles. That means one circle inside another circle is what concentric means. Representing the inner and outer sky. Below this mark is Cupid's unstrung bow. At the base of the bow is a triangle, and surrounding the triangle is a group of four water pots. At the base of the triangle is a half moon with two more triangles touching its points, and below the half moon is a fish. Someone should get a diagram of this, show us tomorrow. Because right now it's gotten too complex for me to picture in my mind. So, altogether, there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So any questions or comments? We got two or three more minutes of class. But anything we read today? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary is exactly the same thing that we just heard. Yeah.
It seems that the gopis were doing this drama.
Yeah. Yeah. But Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, well, that may not be the actual sequential unfolding of the pastimes. Like even when Sukadeva Goswami presented the pastimes in, well, not Krishna book, in Bhagavatam, but you have Krishna book following Bhagavatam, it may not actually be the sequence in which they occurred. Yeah.
He explains that each demon represents a specific
anartha. Anartha, yeah.
And I wondered if there was a sequence in the anarthas that had to be uprooted.
I don't know. I don't remember that from the Krishna Samhita.
Yeah.
He just mentioned the different anarthas, each one represent. And he also told the story of where the demon came from. You know that?
Where the demon came from?
Yeah, yeah. Where the demon, what the demon's last birth. Yeah, I have a whole course I give on that. It's called Demons. How to be a demon, Krishna consciousness. No. And because it turns out that most of the demons were actually persons, and sometimes they were saints or not such bad guys who were cursed in the last life to become demons because they had offended some saint. And of course, in the case of Putana, you know the story? She was Bali Maharaj's sister in her past life. And when she first saw Lord Vamana, she felt maternal affection towards him. And she said, wow, I really would like to have him as my kid. And when Vamana did his trick with Bali Maharaj, her brother, she got so upset and she said, he may be my kid, but I'm going to kill him. So that's why she became Putana. Anyway, so much for that one. Okay, any other questions or comments? Before we, yes?
It seems like in the one of the verses there's a reference to using poetic license.
Yeah.
In, for instance, for songs and drama. Because the gopis, they use words to present something that Krishna didn't
say. Yeah. Well, they weren't deviating from the Siddhanta. Because what they were presenting was Krishna's intention. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur does the same thing. You know, he's not, when he tells the pastimes, he's not actually telling verbatim. Verbatim means like word by word. Exactly what Krishna said or what the gopis said. But he's presenting their intention, their mood. And so we can do that too. I mean, many times when Prabhupada would tell pastimes, he would present things in a non-verbatim fashion or non-literal fashion, but just presenting the mood of the different personalities. And, you know, I do the same thing. I think everybody does that. There's that poetic license to do that. Good point. So, it is 1 minute past 7, and Krishna's going to appear, and we can get rid of our lust today, become renounced, leave your husbands and wives, and forget about getting married, you know, all those things. That's why I sing Krishna's lotus feet. Right? Krishna's smiling face, wow.
Apparently his eyebrows are out his eyebrows.
It's like bows, Cupid's bows. Yeah, like Cupid's bows. His teeth are like pearls. You know, there was once upon a time, there was a grahastha couple, and the wife asked the husband, am I beautiful? And the husband said, Krishna's beautiful. Marriage didn't last too long. So sometimes Prabhupada said, you got to tell a white lie. Yes, you're gorgeous. And you cross your fingers at the same time. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai.